a minute. Turn on the radio. My homie got a new show and it's time to play it though. I hope you got in tune. He talking bigger business. He make a lot of moves.
I think we all know that the crypto thing is a big deal, and the blockchain stuff and the technology is all important and game-changing, world-changing. But one of the things that I find particularly funny is forever in the investment world, there was the haves and the have-nots. To a lesser extent, there still is the have and the have-nots. But one of the things I've noticed over the last little while is the fact that every single person, which is, there's a good part of this and a bad, but every single person who has bought a Bitcoin or a Litecoin or Ether or even knows what I'm talking about now thinks that they are an investing expert and that they are a futures holder and that they know the future of everything. And they're like, oh my God, all these investors, what do they know about things? I've made 1,000% in 5 minutes. I'm going to sit down here in a second with a person who had to actually put in the legwork to actually identify this market, get involved in it, build a business around it for a long time before Bitcoin was like on the picture of every single channel, despite the fact that his company was featured on CBS just a day ago. Humorous as it might be. Don, you're the director of Digital Mint. I'm going to mispronounce your name, so I'm going to have you pronounce your name. What is your last name?
Wiper. Like
Wiper. I was scared I was going to be like Wiper, and you're like, dude, what the hell?
No, don't worry. I've heard it all.
Well, your partner in crime is Mark Grentz. I have no doubt that you've been forced to hear it all. he is a character and is not here on this one, but he's going to be – is it going to be you at the Crypto for Idiots?
The other co-founder, Jonathan Sullivan.
Jonathan's coming. Okay, yeah. So we've got all of you guys. What I first want to get into without any delay is what Digital Mint is. And then we'll kind of work our way from the beginning story of where Digital Mint came to be and sort of the iterations that it has become over time. And then I can't wait to spend the back half of the show, in my case, making fun of and or defending crypto fanatics who don't know what the hell they're talking about.
I'm game, man.
I don't know if we have time for all of this.
Yeah. I've been instructed by Mark to not be as cynical as I usually am. So
Mark is not here. You know what? If Mark thought it was so important, Mark would have been here to make sure. So,
well, he misses you. So, of course,
I see Mark randomly all over. We played poker against each other. He took all my money, which you know I gave to him because you know,
I'm sure.
I felt bad. Mm-hmm. But anyway, what is Digital Mint?
So Digital Mint is the country's biggest point of sale Bitcoin exchange. We are currently in over 120 locations throughout 13 states. We're growing multiples every month. And in a lot of ways, we're growing almost too fast for our own britches right now. A lot of that is because of the kind of the hype cycle around Bitcoin. Yeah. There's a lot of popularity. A lot of people are going into this speculatively without really taking time to understand the technology. Personally, I am a Bitcoin bull. I look at these, you know, right now Bitcoin's down probably 20-25% over the past 10 hours.
Yeah.
And the whole crypto market's down. That being said, this happens in cycles.
You see the millennials are diving out of the window right now. I just saw one pass by our window.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure.
I saw the hipster jeans and I knew it was a millennial falling out of the sky.
Well, but right now, Bitcoin has become, for a lot of people, is a store of value. And even I want to laugh at that, looking at the volatility right now. But that being said, if you look at the underlying protocols, when people are buying Bitcoin, they're buying something that no one else can touch. And the ease of transference adds a lot of value to it as a store of value down the road. So we're still in the early stages. We see customers who buy for speculation. We see customers who buy for remittances. We also see customers who buy to purchase items online at a discount. Because with Bitcoin, there's no chargeback risk. So retailers can offer a discount to what they would charge a customer who is using a credit card. So Mark likes to tell a story of one of our customers who was buying lots of Bitcoin early on. And was really taking everybody aback by the volume. So they decided to reach out to him, find out what was going on, making sure nothing nefarious was happening. And he told him that he was using Bitcoin to purchase real hair overseas because they had a wig making company in the south side of Chicago. And they were their provider, I think it was in India, only accepted Bitcoin because of the chargeback risk in particular.
My guess is now they're a blockchain company.
Yeah, probably.
They just recently had Wig a blockchain. Multi-million-dollar ICO.
They just tokenized wigs.
That's the world we live in right now, and it's crazy. It's funny to me. The co-founder of Ethereum was talking about this at something TechCrunch or whatever, about how the year 2017 was sort of this year of like recognition, and people are like, oh my God, this is this thing, and everyone thinks they're all the hype machine. And 2018 is sort of that, like, in his mind, is this sort of balance reflection where, you know, inflection point where it's like we realize that some of the technology isn't where it needs to be, and there's like a lot of application that isn't where it needs to be, and this is the time for us to sort of flesh this out. These are the growing pains that we need to be able to build a functional, usable piece of technology. And it was sort of like everyone stared at him like, the markets are going to crash, like, what are you doing? And like, in his mind, it was, he could care less about your personal investment in Ethereum. He wanted to make sure that the technology itself was usable in the future. I just thought it was an interesting take when you sit down in front of the what I call like the real players, the fakers versus the makers. I always look at like the makers are the guys who create this stuff for a purpose, and the fakers are the ones that just like want to try to take advantage any way they can. Where do you see the hype machine having positive and negative impacts both on Digital Mint as well as just the entire crypto space?
You know, in general, this hype cycle, it'll blip in the long-term history of Bitcoin. Blockchain in general, you know, in 2014, what you heard from everybody was, it's blockchain, not Bitcoin.
Yeah.
And then they got quiet. And then it was, it's tokens. It's ERC-20 tokens, where we're going to create a pants company that creates tokens for pants. And the only way you can buy our pants is with an ERC-20 token, and they'll raise $50 million of real money. A lot of these tokens are taking real money and promising to create a product down the road. And it's, some people have looked at, you know, Naval of AngelList and CoinList kind of suggested that tokens were going to take over venture capital. And I think what we're learning right now is that there's actually a lot of value to be given less money up front.
Yeah.
Learning how to build, learning to create a product, learning to sell a product.
100%.
Because right now the incentive structures for these tokens inherently lead to not creating anything. Just think about, for example, Filecoin raised $125 million, I believe, and they have no product. They're trying to decentralize Dropbox and Box. You know,
what's the point at that point?
Day one, from day zero to day one, having $120 million, okay, I'll spend $20 million, try to build something. Didn't work, sorry, bye. I have no responsibility because you guys bought tokens. You didn't buy equity in my company.
Yeah.
I don't think it's the right structure. And actually, I do believe Vitalik is working on a different structure that kind of takes away this aspect of just a pump and dumps that you see all over.
Yep. No, it's just interesting to me that people, and I guess, you know what, honestly, it's not that surprising. Now that I sit and reflect as I sit in front of you, forever I would say that the accredited investor, the savvy investor, it blows my mind how quickly in this they're all throwing money at stuff that they would otherwise never do. I mean, these are people, like, at the end of the day, most of the stuff ends up coming back to USD. It ends up coming back to, well, once I converted it out, I ended up making, like, when they report it, they say there was, you know, $100 million in Bitcoin or $100 million. Like, it always ends up coming back to the U.S. dollar. Mm-hmm. And it's funny to me that all these investors are throwing stuff at that. If I said, I'm going to have an equity crowdfunding campaign, I would struggle to raise $150,000. But if I said I'm having an ICO, I could do a million instantly. And it's like the same people. And I'm wondering if part of it is just the new opportunity and trying to grab up everything they can, and then they'll figure it out later because they have money, or if you have people who just flat out have never invested anything in their lives and think this is the gold rush and they're just throwing cash at it and are going to be very upset when all the dust settles.
Yeah, I mean, this market is definitely held up by a lot of FOMO.
Oh, yeah.
And I have a theory that everyone, you know, looks to the guy who made more than they did, you know, a couple months ago, and they're jealous. And so what you have is, you have Bitcoin is created in 2009 out of the credit crisis, where millions of people lost their jobs, lost their retirement savings, lost any future of retiring, all because of greed. You know, I don't want to get too crazy about kind of libertarianism. I don't consider myself one, but when you start going down, you buy your first Bitcoin and you kind of learn about the protocol, you kind of understand why it was created. This is a trustless protocol. Inherently, it's going to create greed and it's going to create speculation. But we're about, we're almost 10 years in. We're 9 years in now. And, you know, it would be interesting to see where we are in 20, 30 years when kind of the volatility has slowed down a bit. When people look at Bitcoin as a store of value as opposed to a token as something to get rich on quick on. Because I don't see, I also don't see how the Ethereum network's going to handle the volume when all these ERC, if all these ERC-20 tokens actually start being used. We saw with CryptoKitties that the Ethereum network was basically taken down because it was the only token that was actually being used on the protocol. With Bitcoin right now, the big issue is the infighting and the forking and the transaction fees. Those are all, I look at them as kind of growth pains, where down the road, as everyone stays true to Bitcoin and into the idea of it being a store of value long term, where you know you would be investing in Bitcoin the same way you would in gold. You know, there are arguments to both. You can't make jewelry out of Bitcoin, but you can store it safely, easily, and transport it quickly, as opposed to
it's just different assets. I mean, I look at, you know, like I've heard the same argument a bunch of times, and then I always hear the same hater afterward be like, oh, exact, you can't build a jeweler, you can't build whatever. And it's like, you know, not everything has to be the same size, shape, and weight. Like, you can have something very valuable that's valuable because it's secure and because it's transferable and because you can't, you know, corrupt it, so to speak, and that be just as valuable as something that can be stolen, can be duplicated, melted, and turned into something else and could be traded away without anyone ever knowing it. But the gold has the value of being able to be a building block or whatever else. Things have different values. So for everyone who's ripping on the digital side of this, it just sort of makes me laugh because it's like, you're being obtuse. Like, you're just not paying attention to the different set of values that are built for the future of economy. And that, to me, is the application of cryptocurrencies as a whole that I'm attracted to. I am not, by any stretch, a speculator. I don't know jack shit about all the stuff I should know about. Mm-hmm. But what I do know is certain types of technology make sense to me as it pertains to its use case for other types of technology. Mm-hmm. When I look at IoT and I think of farming tools and things like that that are speaking to each other, that down the road we'll be sending, you know, notices back to the headquarters saying that these need to be fixed or replaced or whatever, that the currency that is an electric currency can actually be done right there in the loop so that no human being has to make sure that this was bought and sold and transacted. Like, you could literally have an ecosystem of machines mm-hmm. without ever having a human being other than to oversee it. And that, to me, is where I look at certain types of cryptocurrency and look at it and go, that's a usable there. And other people, I think, are just not, I think you've just got a whole glutton of speculators who are speculating on things that they don't even understand.
That is the case. And what you also see are a lot of experts popping up.
Oh, my God.
Name
your favorite expert. Not the person.
Oh, no, well,
I mean, you can't. Shit, you can put the whole person.
But listen, like, I have enough people that hate me as
Give me an example of one, because, like, I see this every day. Every day I open up Facebook and there's another person who made 1,000% and they're a genius now.
Yeah, yeah. So I
where are my Ripple people now?
Yeah, I know, yeah. Ripple, IOTA, all these different, you know.
Marketing.
The great marketing, and my view on tokens and other kind of altcoins is that 99% of them start out altruistic with a vision of a beautiful future. But inherently, again, how just it kind of works when money gets involved.
It's just like startups. It's the same thing.
It can get ugly. So, you know, I quote unquote kind of came out of the Bitcoin closet last year. So I kind of got into it in 2012. I started learning about it. By 2013, I had invested a little bit and lived through the Mt. Gox implosion, and you know, started by, you know, averaging down. But I was really interested in learning about the protocol, and I think everyone should take time. You know, you can go you look up Andreas Antonopoulos is probably the best place to go for all knowledge about Bitcoin. He's written multiple books on the subject, and you'll quickly level up.
Plus, you're smart if you can spell it.
Exactly.
If you can
spell
it, yeah.
Bitcoin Andreas, you'll find him quick.
There you go.
So after in 2016, I went to my first meetup here in Chicago. And I went in, I wanted to ask everybody, because I was, who's actually using this thing?
Yeah.
Like, who's using it? I found one guy who actually gave me a brilliant answer. He said that he has a couple rental properties, and he takes every single contract that he has and PDFs it, and he uploads it to a site where he could, at that time, 2016, it was probably $300, $400 a Bitcoin. He could spend $3. And what it did was it hashed the PDF and attached it to the blockchain network, creating a completely provable notary without having to go to a notary. So if ever any of his tenants tried to manipulate the lease,
yeah,
he could pull it down off the blockchain and say, nope, this is immutable, this is true, this is what you signed. And I thought that was brilliant. Yeah. I mean, it makes complete sense to me, but then again, 99% were speculators. So a couple months later, I went to this meetup again. It's a great meetup. Shout out to the Bob meetup group here in Chicago. There's a social on Thursday at Sully's house. You should try to go if you can. I met a guy. I was introduced to him because I was in finance. He was in finance. Just ran into him. He asked me about Bitcoin. He had just kind of gotten involved. This is, again, it was the end of 2016. I just met the guy last month who said he's partnered with an expert in Bitcoin and blockchain. And he said this guy's name. I'm like, how do you become an expert in 4 months?
Yeah.
Like, I don't go around proposing I'm an expert, and at least I can point back like to a time when I can prove that I got interested and got involved, and I'm always learning every single day. I could never put out myself as an expert even.
Anyone
now
who says they're an expert in anything is full of shit.
I think everyone just needs to be a bit careful, take a step back, really understand what you're investing in, what you're putting your money into, because in the end, like, yeah, you can make lots of money, but I don't know about you, but I mean, I wouldn't feel good if I was making it on a token that I know would never be put to use.
I feel okay.
Your hot tub would make you feel better?
I mean, you know, I think just being able to buy a car or something cool.
So to circle it all back, you know, once you understand kind of Bitcoin and you look at it, and we're going to start offering different crypto assets as well down the road. You know, once you understand it, we'd love to have you come to a digital mint teller. We've iterated from just the ATM to partnering with money services businesses and providing them software that allows them to flip a switch and start selling Bitcoin at point of sale. And compare, you know, for most people, going to a group like Coinbase Works, going to Gemini, I would prefer most people do, because Coinbase hasn't activated SegWit, which is a way to scale Bitcoin.
Yeah.
And because they're the biggest kind of onboarding, like, entity in crypto right now.
Coinbase is nice for like the first time user to like figure it out and not like have it all in a neat, orderly fashion. But like as soon as you try to use it at any sort of volume, it's just.
Yeah. So if you want to convert your cash to Bitcoin, we'd love to help you do business. Digitalmint.io. If you're doing over $10,000 transactions, you can go to digitalmint.io/online and our OTC service will help you out.
Very cool. Awesome. Thank you so much. I appreciate you stopping in.
Thank you.
You can catch this episode and more at technoria.com. Download the podcast on iTunes and stay connected by following us on Facebook and Twitter @technoria, or you can follow me @Katoon. Boom. That's a wrap.